as you will hear, the St. Petersburg Free Clinic is involved in a lot of areas in the community, and the food bank is just one of them. Beth Houghton is the executive director.
Good afternoon. My name is Beth Houghton, and I'm privileged to be the executive director at the St. Petersburg Free Clinic. And for those who are unfamiliar with our organization, our name doesn't say everything. We serve the underserved in our community by providing food, shelter, and health care. We do so with the donations and the volunteer efforts that are represented in this room and beyond throughout the community. It's an honor to stand in front of you today, knowing that this room is filled with individuals who are committed to ending hunger in our community. I want to remind you that you are welcome to eat while I speak. It's about hunger, but you don't have to go that hungry. And remember, at any time, and I think it is or will be up on the screen, you can text HOPE to #74121 to donate. There are a few groups that I would like to recognize at this time. First, I'd like to ask our board members to stand and be recognized. I know we have some of them in the room. If they're in town, they're here. And each of these individuals gives truly their time, their talent, and their treasure to guide the organization, and they and their forebears have done that since 1970, when the Free Clinic was formed. Would also like to ask our employees who are in the room to stand. Some of them are guarding a post somewhere else, but please stand. While it is their job, I can assure you that for every one of them, it is also their passion to serve their program in the St. Petersburg Free Clinic and to work with clients and residents and patients every day to bring hope and to make life just a little bit better. Another group who does that, and for without whom we could just simply not do what we do, are our volunteers. So I'd like our volunteers, either current or prior, to stand if you could. And then I promise I won't make more people stand. I have often shared that if you added the number of volunteer hours we had and equated those to a full-time employee, it would increase our manpower, our person power, by about 30%. So it's no small thing that the volunteers do. And last but not least, I'd like to recognize Beth Vivio and the Development Committee for making all of this happen. Beth? There you go. Well, Cynthia picked up on some of the same themes that I would talk about, but it's sort of hard in St. Petersburg, Florida, or probably anywhere in Florida, not be thinking about the hurricane. If you were here, and frankly, even if you weren't in town, you were worried about someone or something. So I'd like to, again, ask for a show of hands of those who were affected in one way or another by the hurricane. And I'll be surprised if everyone doesn't raise their hand. You may have been forced to evacuate. You may have had to stock up on food ahead of time. You may have had to replace everything in your refrigerator or freezer, as Cynthia mentioned. Your children may have been out of school and you didn't know what to do with them for that week. Your home or work or both may have lost power for a day or two or five or six or eight. So everyone was impacted, and I think all of you would probably agree that for many of us, we're just now sort of coming out of the fog that being on high alert for a week to two created for all of us, worrying, even though we all know how fortunate we were that we didn't sustain a direct hit. But in many ways, our clients and our patients and our residents still got that direct hit. because as Cynthia mentioned, for me, losing all of the food in my refrigerator and freezer just meant another trip to Publix or Walmart to refill the refrigerator. And of course, I found things that I didn't even know that were there that didn't need to be replaced. But for many, many of our clients, it was devastating. And it was devastating on multiple levels. Not only did they lose that food, but to the extent they were able to buy the supplies before the hurricane that we were all urged to buy, shelf-stable food, water for as many as 5+ days, if they were able to afford any of that, then after the storm, many didn't have power in their own homes, but it also their workplaces were closed for 1, 2, 3 or more days. And so they were without work and without a paycheck. So when you figure you lose 2, 3, 4 days out of a typical 20 working days in a month, that's huge if you were already right on the edge. And one of the things I continue to be aware of but shocked at is that in St. Petersburg, Florida, it's pretty close to 50% of our population that are living right on the edge all the time. Every month is a struggle over that kitchen table to make sure all the bills get paid. So a kid being sick doesn't just mean taking time to take that child to the doctor, but it also means lost wages for a period of time that are not within any budget and can't be afforded. There are folks who can't arrange for the care of their children when they're out of school, like so many of us needed to do during the week after the hurricane. So this has been a very hard reality for so many of our community in levels and degrees that are much more than we might imagine. During the week after the hurricane, the Free Clinic had the opportunity to fill in and do a variety of things that frankly are not core to our mission or what we say we do. We're not an emergency response organization, but in a way we're an emergency response organization every single day for individuals who have emergencies. And so when called upon by the county or by FEMA or by others to come and fill in, if we could, if we had the capacity, we did. And that meant a variety of things. It meant when the county's emergency operation folks were on a phone call and said, well, we're going to try to get 200 pallets. A pallet is about 4x4 by, I don't know, as tall as I am. 200 pallets of water on Monday in case we need them here. Is there anybody who could store that? Well, thanks to the generosity of Bonnie Hedgecock, we now have a warehouse that, lo and behold, 200 pallets of water would fit in. So let's hear it for Bonnie. I can see Steve already. And we were fortunate that our warehouse manager was in town and had not left town, and he and his family worked tirelessly through several days. As he said, they didn't have power at home anyway, so they just came to the food bank and worked. Some of the community centers were able to open to provide care for children during the time the schools were closed so that some people could get back to work. But they're not equipped to have food for those kids every day. And so a call went out, does anybody have food appropriate for kids? And our director of food program, Shana Bentz, said, well, yep, we've got some of those. We pack pack-a-sacks for weekend food for children and had many already packed and ready to go. And so about 1,000 of those packs went to the neighborhood community centers so that kids could have a safe place to go and have food for lunch. There were homebound senior citizens who hadn't had air conditioning and for whom ice was an important commodity. And the ice had been identified, and unrefrigerated trucks were there, but they were afraid by the time they got to each of those places in an unrefrigerated truck, the ice would be half-mast. And so the call went out, does anybody have refrigerated trucks they could lend to the cause? And we raised our hand and said, yeah, we can do that. And so once again, our drivers were on the road delivering ice to some isolated senior citizens in our community. It was a low-income apartment complex that had struggled without water or power for a period of time, so they'd lost all their food, hadn't been able to get back to work, and we were able to be one of several folks who responded to that need and helped fill in the gaps in those couple days. So together, in a whole variety of ways, we saw so many in our community step up, and I just wanted to share with you that your free clinic was part of that response by everyone during that time period. The fact is, though, that while we have recovered from the storm, the families that we serve every day will suffer for quite a bit longer. Any savings they might have had is gone. A week without income means some bills won't get paid, and among other things, food will be hard to find the money to purchase. And this last several days and this last several weeks, I think, have been, at a minimum, stressful and unsettling for all of us. And I think for many of us, we feel that whether it's the violence in Las Vegas or the storms that hit here and really hit in Puerto Rico and the Keys and other places, are just so overwhelming. What can one person do? I'm reminded that while there are things I can't do, that fighting hunger in Pinellas County in St. Petersburg is something each one of us in this room can make a really big difference on. And so while we may feel helpless to do some things, we're absolutely empowered to do others. We know what we need to do. We know how to do it. We just continue to need the resources to push that model forward and do more. So we have the power to feed that 1 in 4 children that Cynthia mentioned in our community who don't know where the next meal is coming from. We have the capability to feed the mother who goes without food so that her children do have food. As many of you know, this year we opened the Jared S. Hetchkoff Community Food Bank. The building was made possible by a donation from businesswoman Bonnie Hetchkoff, and she gets 2 rounds of applause for sure. So. The new warehouse allowed us to do almost everything I just described during the hurricane. We just didn't have the physical capacity to do it. So while you might say warehouses aren't really sexy, they enable you to do things that are really amazing. This is a platform upon which we can now grow and continue to supply food to people in our community. But it's so much more than a building. It really does represent hope to about 50,000 community members who receive food through our programs or through the programs that we provide food to. Every month, thousands of hungry children receive weekend food through our Pack-A-Sack program. Hundreds of homebound senior citizens receive food through the Hardy Homes program. And 50 local partner agencies receive the food that they need to turn around and distribute to their clients. So, what's even more exciting is that because of your support over the years and the Hetchkoff Community Food Bank, this last year we collected 4.7 million pounds of food. And I remember standing here and being at this place and being so excited to announce that that number was 2 million not very many years ago. So that's really extraordinary. It's sort of beyond comprehension, those kind of numbers. These are a source of stability for families in difficult situations. If you were to be a fly on the wall in our pantry or at any one of our food partners who distribute food, you would hear absolutely heartbreaking stories from the people who come in who don't want to be there. They want to be able to provide for their own families, but at some point, they just can't. So for some, it's the first time and maybe the only time they'll ever be in a food pantry needing help. For others, if their budget is always on the edge, and if one thing happens, a tire is blown, a child gets sick, a hurricane comes, then they need that extra help. And then for others, it's a support they need all the time. And one example of that that we see all too often is a loving grandmother who now has custody of two or three grandchildren, started out on a fixed income, was just getting by before, and now has to somehow feed these extra hungry mouths. So for her, coming into a food pantry may be the part of the fabric of support that keeps her family together and keeps those children with their family and at home. So that's why your help is so critical today. When you support the free clinic, you're not just providing a meal, you really are providing hope. Now, I've thrown out some really big numbers at this event before, and sometimes they came true, so I'm going to go for it. For about $75,000 a year, not a big deal, right? For $75,000 a year, you can support the full operation of one of our refrigerated trucks that goes out and picks up about 400,000 pounds of food in a year's time. The value of that food is calculated to be about $650,000, so that's about a 9-to-1 return on what we put in and the value of the food that we get back. For about $20,000, you can support purchasing a full truckload of produce that comes in, produce that would have been plowed under, but that we can get from the farm and spend the trucking fees and so on and bring in and distribute to people throughout our community. But I'll make it a little bit easier. For $250, you can make a lasting impact on a family's life, because that's about what it costs us to provide a visit to our pantry every month for a family. So for that grandmother I talked about with two or three children, getting the food and providing everything it takes for those bags of food to walk out the door with her once a month throughout an entire year is about $250. Supporting these efforts is more important now than it has ever been. Thousands of our community members are not just now still feeling the effects of Hurricane Irma, but will continue to over the next several months. In fact, in the first week after the hurricane, when our We Help pantry opened itself without electricity and air conditioning, we saw about 1,000 families who were coming in just beginning to rebuild and have food in their homes for themselves and for their children. So we want to ensure that these families don't have to choose between paying the water bill or buying food. These are decisions that they just shouldn't have to make. Well, speaking of hard decisions, today we have an extraordinary opportunity to simulate some of these difficult choices. So at this time, I would like to bring up Cynthia Smoot to her podium to facilitate a simulation that may be eye-opening for all of us. And through this activity, I hope you'll learn about how difficult these decisions can be for families. But remember as you go through this that there is great news. There is good news. You have the power to make a difference. You have the power to provide life-saving programs to our neighbors in need. Thank you.